Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Chafli Linishmas Betzal Tzvi Ben Moshe Yitzchak. The king secretly, because he can't do anything in public, because he doesn't have that kind of spine, calls Yirmiyah into his presence and begs him, tell me something. Tell me something about possibilities of salvation. He doesn't really believe there are any, but he can't believe it's all going to fall apart. And Yirmiyah says, surrender to the Babylonians and you're going to live and your kids are going to live and the city is going to live and the people are going to live. We're in the middle of a 2-year siege and famine. Everything is going wrong. But the Navi of God tells you, go surrender right now. It may irk you, it may eat away at your gut to have to give up. I'm going to be the surrender king. I'm going to be the guy who lost. This happened in the American Civil War. Jefferson Davis was caught running away on the train rather than to show up and surrender himself. Robert E. Lee did it. He just marched up and surrendered to Grant. And there's great covet given to him, and there's paintings and portraits and admiration for Robert E. Lee giving his sword to the enemy and having Grant give him back his sword as a mark of respect. But Jefferson Davis ran away, and he hid himself. Allegedly, he was cold. He was wearing a shawl while he was on the train. Might have been a women's shawl. And that became a legend that Jefferson Davis dressed up in a dress and skirts as a woman and ran away to save his own life. And they mocked him endlessly for months, years, for running away in a skirt and high heels from being captured. And says Sidkiyahu, that's unacceptable to me. What if I'm humiliated by my own people, by the other Jews? So Yirmiyah said, the costume aren't going to deliver you into the hands of the Jews. I'll even give you a guarantee of that. Shema no b'kol Hashem la'asharani dover elecha. Please. He begs. Please listen to the word of God. Please. I'm begging you. Save everybody. Save yourself. Save the city. Save humanity. Save Yehuda. Save the dynasty of David HaMelech. Listen to the word of God that I have told you. V'yitav lecha usachi nafshecha. He'll be good to you. He'll show you favor. And your soul is going to live. You'll survive. Chaval avim o'einat olotes. But if you refuse, if you outright refuse to go out and surrender, Zeh hadavar asher harani Hashem. This is the vision that God has shown me. Chav beis v'hinei chol hanoshem asher nish'aru beveis melech Yehuda mutza os. Behold, all of the women that have remained in the palace of the king of Yehuda are going to be taken out el sarei melech Babel to the officers, the so-called nobles of the king of Babylon. V'hinei omros. And you know what they're going to say? Now when the women are going to be taken out, immediately the mind goes to the terrible things that Hamas did, the father and son taken, who admitted to the Israelis without any remorse, without any show of emotion. Yeah, I raped and he raped and then we murdered them and then we killed them. That's the fate worse than death. When you start talking about women being taken out, you're talking about these vulnerable people being destroyed by their captors. But that's not what's going to happen. Instead, what's going to happen is that they're going to be interrogated. And this is what they're going to say. V'hina omros. He sees sucha v'yachulucha anshe shalomecha. Your friends succeeded in inciting you to rebellion when you broke your oath to Melech Bavel. Hot be'u v'abots raglecha nasogu achar. They sank your feet in mud and they will retreat. The women servants of the palace are going to be interrogated. Why did you rebel against Nebuchadnezzar? They'll try to defend you, but the way that they're going to defend you is they're going to say it was your friends who did it. And they stuck your feet in mud. They got you stuck there. Your feet got sucked in so you couldn't move. You couldn't escape yourself. What about your wives? Not the servants, but your own wives and your own children. Motziim el ha-kastim, they're going to be taken out to the kastim. V'atolosim alei miyadam, and you're not going to escape their hands. Surrender on your own terms right now. Go out to them, and you'll live. Don't surrender, and they're going to catch you anyway. Kivyad melech bavel titafes, because you are going to be grabbed, you're going to be seized, captured by the hands of the king of Bavel. V'aseir azos tizrob bo'esh, and they're going to burn down the city. What's more important? Your own personal dignity or the lives of all of the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem who have been besieged and are starving in the streets right now? And we know from Megillas Eicha the very graphic descriptions of corpses lying in the street or near death corpses who can't find the strength to move or survive. What Yirmiyah is telling Tzidkiyah under no uncertain circumstances is that if everything goes wrong and happens to Yerushalayim, it's your responsibility and it's your problem. But says Rabbi Breuer, the dread of ridicule is what motivates Tzidkiyahu. Weakness fears nothing so much as ridicule. If you get ridiculed and you are a strong person, you say, consider the source, and sticks and stones may break my bones. But if you are weak, and that's your main fear, so Tzidkiyahu says back to Yirmiyah, let nobody know about this conversation and you won't die. Keep it secret. Because if the officers find out, if the nobles find out that I spoke to you, and they come to you, and they ask you, tell us, what did you and the king talk about? Don't lie to us, they'll say. We won't kill you. What did the king say to you? Tell them, I beg the king not to return me to the palace, Levilti Hashiveni, Beis Yehonasan Lamusham, to put me back in the house of Yehonasan, to put me back in prison and not kill me. So you be a scaredy cat when they talk to you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to look weak and not me. Chavzayin, Vayavochal Asarim El Yirmiyo, Vayashalu Oso. So the officers did in fact encounter Yirmiyo after he came out of his little secret conference, and he didn't hesitate. He told them exactly what the king had said. In fact, he had begged for his life earlier, so this was no lie. What was the reason for him to endanger himself more when the king had made it clear he wasn't going to follow his advice anyway? And they left him alone. They hushed it up so that nobody heard about it. So the king is too weak to want to appear weak, even though he is weaker than ever. The men, as long as it's hushed up and quiet, they don't care what happens. Who cares about Yerushalayim? None of these people. Chavches, finally, sorry, we a little over time, but wrapping it up. And so Yirmiyahu was left alone in the courtyard of the guards until the day Yerushalayim fell. It seems, says some of the Mefarshim, that he no longer prophesied, he no longer spoke to anybody, he realized it was going to do no good. He had spoken to the leaders, he had spoken to the people, he had spoken to everyone, and none of it did anything. So apparently what he may have done is finished up Megillas Eicha while he waited for the axe to fall. V'haya kasher nilkada Yerushalayim. And so it was when Yerushalayim was conquered. And that's sort of a dot, dot, dot for the next perek that is to come. So Mitzvah David says, even after the city was captured, when it was still possible to get away, he didn't bother. He just sat there in the courtyard writing his Megillas Eicha and just experiencing the Chorban as a first-hand witness, an eyewitness that we still learn about today in the era of our own Chorbanos.